Time to begin our class. Good to see everybody out. Let's begin with a word of prayer before we get started. Joe, will you lead that prayer?
Sure. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful we could be here this evening, that we could come and worship, study Thy Word, sing songs of praise, hear a message delivered that may be an encouragement and help us to change our lives if we need to. We pray for all the sick. We pray for everyone there. We pray for those striving to serve Thee no matter what they face. And there's so many face and so many things in this life. Bless the sick. Bless the bereaved. Help us to understand Thy words and Thy teachings and forgive us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 22 is where we begin this evening. And we've gone into pretty much detail on the Sermon on the Mount. More detail than we would normally go into. If you go into too much detail, you lose sight of the big picture. Understand that. But we've gone into all this detail on the Sermon on the Mount because there's so much there. And there's so much things there that are practical to us today, just like it was then. So that's the reason for that. And we'll go into some detail tonight. I would like to get finished with chapter 7 tonight, if possible. But if it takes Sunday, it takes Sunday. I don't want to just rush through it. But we've talked about a lot of things. And, you know, when you look at the big picture of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching about what our relationship to God should be and how we should act in that relationship, about our hearts. Blessed is the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And how we are to treat each other, which also, it's all about attitudes. We've talked about that. And he continues that in chapter 6 and chapter 7. And so we talked last Sunday about chapter 6 and verse 33 being one of the keys to the thing. What does chapter 6 and verse 33 say?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. Now that's in context of us not worrying about what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear, because God's going to take care of that. But in the bigger context, is that not the sum of what Jesus is teaching in those three chapters? Is that not the context of the entirety? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. If everybody did that, it'd be a lot different, wouldn't it? So let's keep that in mind as we study. So we're going to start in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 6, and we'll see how far we get. So verses 22 through 24. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Angela, have you got the English Standard? Will you read those two verses? So if our eyes are good, we can see clearly, right? But if our eye isn't good, then we don't see clearly. And so we either have clear vision that can discern the spiritual that can discern spiritual things, and one who can't discern the spiritual things is what? It's blind, right? That was a problem the Pharisees had. That was a problem the spiritual leaders had. And the leaders of the Jews, they were blind. Well, why were they blind?
Hardness of heart.
So it was something they chose to be, right, Jerry? They chose to be blind, okay? So when we're faced with a choice to serve God or not serve God, and in their case, it was to believe that Christ was the Messiah or not, they chose not to believe. And they chose not to believe because of envy, because of jealousy, because the fact that here's one that's wanting to destroy everything that they are doing, but they weren't doing it from the what? From the heart. That's the whole thing that we've been talking about. So they weren't doing it from the heart. They were going through the motions. There's a lesson in that, by the way. Because we can go through the motions. You know, we can put on a shirt and tie, or we can put on a dress or whatever, and we can be at every service going through the motions, and we may look like we're serving God, but if our heart's not in it and we're just going through the motions, are we not guilty of the same thing the Pharisees were? Absolutely. And Jesus called them again what? Hypocrites, okay? And a hypocrite is what? Somebody that's not what? They're not going to go to heaven, right? So think about that as we go through this. But if one has clear vision, they can discern the spiritual thing. So if we can't discern the spiritual, then we're blind. Luke chapter 12, Jesus said the leaders of the Jews chose to be blind to the truth. That's what we just talked about. And Matthew chapter 15, Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, then what? They'll both fall in the ditch, okay? So there's a lesson there. And he says, we can't serve two masters. Now, he's talking specifically there about not serving God and money, because he's talking about putting God first. But is money the only master? There's God and there's who? There's the devil. There's Satan, okay? Satan knows how to tempt us. We can't serve two masters. We either serve one or we serve the other. So if we're not serving God, who are we serving? We're serving the devil, right? No one can serve two masters. He'll either love one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So again, what is our focus on? It should be on God. Who are we serving? What are we serving? It has to be on serving God. The entirety of this, that's what it's talking about, is serving God and not serving man, putting God first. And that's what the next few verses talk about in verses 25 through 33. He says, therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. See, he's leading from what he just said. You can't serve God and mammon, into not being anxious what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body than the raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into their barns, yet your heavenly Father what? He feeds them, okay? He takes care of them. Are you not better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O what? Ye of little faith. So is it not following that what he's saying is, if we're worried about the things of this world, we have little what? We have little faith. Because God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what will I do? I'll take care of you, okay? Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. I'll take care of you if you put me first. So we don't have to worry about those things, right? God is going to take care of us. Does that mean that we sit at home and we don't have to go to work tomorrow? No, it doesn't work that way, does it? It doesn't mean that we sit there and we do nothing. You know, the Thessalonians, one of the problems that they had was, you know, they thought the Lord was coming and was imminent, so, you know, they weren't doing anything. So why go to work if the Lord's coming? No, that's not what he's talking about. But he's talking about the fact we don't have to worry about it because God's going to take care of us. God's always taking care of me. I'm sure he's always taking care of you. We put God first, and God will bless us, and God's going to take care of us. Can't make myself any taller. You know, I'm vertically challenged, okay? But I can't do anything about that because I'm getting shorter instead of taller. And worrying about that's not going to make it any better. So, you know, we don't have to worry about those things. Why worry about it? Because we can't do anything about it. And we're not to worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow is going to worry about itself. Sufficient is the day, the trouble thereof. In other words, each day has enough trouble of its own without worrying what's going to happen tomorrow. Is that easy to do? No, it's not. Because by nature, what do we want to do? We want to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, okay? So, but Jesus is saying, if we're worried about those things, oh, ye of little faith. He said, the Gentiles worry about those things. We shouldn't have to worry about those things if we're putting God first. So, if we seek the kingdom of God first, what's going to happen? We've talked about that. Are our minds going to be on spiritual things? Or are our minds going to be on physical things, things of this world? What is going to be our mindset? It's going to be on the spiritual, right? If we're seeking Christ first, if we're seeking God first, then all of our efforts are not in what we can achieve in this life. Our efforts are looking for that home whose builder and maker is God, as we read Sunday or Wednesday night or whatever in Hebrews chapter 11. So where are we laying up our treasures? Where is our focus? Heaven. That's where it should be. Again, it doesn't mean that we don't go to work. It doesn't mean that we don't have a house. It doesn't mean that we don't have a car to drive to work. It doesn't mean that we don't do those things, but God's going to take care of us. But our focus should not be on worldly things. How many people have sacrificed their families and sacrificed their relationship with God for the pursuit of bigger and better things? So there's a balance there, right? We work for the things to help us to live and provide for our families. Because if we don't provide for our families, we're worse than a what? Paul said, an infidel, a sinner. What's an infidel? A sinner. But that cannot be the focus of our lives. That is what I work to provide a living for my family, okay? I don't work to get bigger and better things. My focus is to be on God. It's to be on the spiritual. And we've talked about that. But it's important, because if our focus is not on God, then we've lost it all. Exactly. If the world looks at us, and that's good, Leon, because if the world looks at us, we're to be different. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If the world looks at us and doesn't see us any different then that's a problem. Because we're to be different.
We're not living in the heavenly places.
And we're not spiritual. Right. Because if we're spiritual, we're going to act different. And we talked about that some. Daryl made a good comment about that a couple of classes ago. Were you raising your hand, Daryl?
Well, I'm just going to say, we have to live in a physical world.
Yes.
So there is a big part of our thoughts and our concerns that are physical.
Yes.
But again, I think it becomes much easier to be where God wants us to be if we just really learn to trust God.
Yes.
And, you know, I can't sit at home and think God's just going to throw poop in the house.
That's right. Exactly.
You know, I've seen it over and over again. Yeah. At Southwest, we supported some brethren down in Belize, and some men that worked down there. Issues would come up, and they would call. And before I could get out of the building that night making the announcement, I had all the money they needed ready to wire to them. And that's without any prior notice or anything else, just making an announcement after services that there's an issue down there, and we need to help if we can. And whatever they needed, whether it was $500 or $800 or whatever it was, I had it.
And that's what being a Christian is, and that's what helping each other is. And being different, acting different, dressing different, talking different than the world.
It's not just a matter of providing for our families either. Ephesians 4 and verse 28 says we may have something to share with him who has need.
Yes, and that's so, what Daryl was just talking about. Yes.
So often we're husband and wife are both working full-time jobs that they don't even have time to teach their children, much less to build the house of the Lord. It's like in the days of Haggai, they're so concerned about building their own houses, they don't have time to teach their neighbors. Problems.
That's right. And what Gary just said is there's too many people, their husbands and wives are both working and they're building their own houses, but they're not building the house of the Lord. They're not teaching their own children. And that shows a lack of spirituality. And what's going to happen to those children? Chances are they're not going to be what they should be, right? But Jesus goes on in chapter 7, the first five verses, to talk about judging others. He says, "Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or what wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Luke chapter 6 and verse 37, the passage in Luke says, "Judge not, and you shall be not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." So what's Jesus teaching here? Well, he's not teaching that we can't judge others. If you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said that he had judged the one who had his brother's wife as if he were already there. John chapter 7, Jesus said, "Judge according to, not according to appearances, but judge righteous judgment." So we can judge. We judge people who are in sin. We judge them against what the Word of God says, right? So if he's not talking about the fact that we can't judge one another, if there's a problem, what's he talking about?
Judging non-scripturally.
Critical.
Critical
judgment, okay? Don't judge somebody critically. Watch your critical judgment, because with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. Okay? We've talked about the fact that it's what he says. You know, you want to pull the speck out of your brother's eye, but you can't see the log that's hanging out of yours. First get your log out, and then you can see the speck. Right?
If you're not living the right life, how can you properly judge another individual?
And we've talked about how easy it is to see other people's faults. But it's a little hard to see our own faults, right? Jerry, you see my faults.
I don't have
you know, you don't have any faults. Yeah. Seriously, it's hard for us to see our own faults. But we can see everybody else's faults. And and what he's saying is, you be careful that you're not picking everybody else's faults. You got your own faults, because none of us are perfect, right? So we're not perfect. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Are we too quick sometimes to critically judge our brothers and sisters? We shouldn't be, but do we? And we do that a lot of times when we don't have all the facts, right? And that's kind of human nature. But as children of God, as people of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is saying you can't do that. Why? Somebody tell me, why? Why are we not to critically judge our brothers and our sisters?
Because it causes trouble.
Okay? We're on the same level. May be more guilty than they are. There's a difference in a speck and a log, isn't there? But I can't see that log. But I can see your speck.
I think sometimes we just have too high of expectations.
Yes.
Of people, they're a Christian, they should know better than that. We never turn that around on ourselves and say, so you haven't done anything wrong this week or today? Or, I mean, I don't know. I can tell you myself, I don't think I get through very many days without doing something I need to pray about.
Exactly. 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 Yeah. If we love one another, what are we not going to do? Paula, you said it. We're not going to nitpick each other to death. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Right, exactly. Bucky.
You know, one of the things that in this that I think about too is when you think about the Pharisees, a lot of times when they were judging the other wrong in their tradition, that wasn't actually scripture. So you know, that's something that we have to kind of apply to our lives. You know, is what we're trying to be critical about someone, is it really something that's going to save the soul?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we don't know sometimes. There's a lot of things that, in the scheme of things, really doesn't matter, you know? So if we love each other, like Paula stated, we don't nitpick each other, okay? If we love each other, what are we going to do? Instead of tearing each other down, what are we going to do? We're going to lift each other up. We're going to correct them, okay? We're going to lift each other up. So, do we have to work hard sometimes to do that? Then maybe some have to work harder than others. You know, we all have different temptations. We all have different weaknesses.
Well, one thing that I was going to point out is, you know, as you read the different contexts of what judging means, especially in the Greek, they'll actually use a different context. So, when we typically look at the word judge, we think of passing a sentence. And that's what the Pharisees would do a lot of times, is they would pass the sentence on, oh, you sinners, what are you doing? When you read the content, that's the key of the, when you look at the Sermon on the Mount, is he's looking at focus.
Yes.
As we're looking at how to have that relationship with God and with each other. And so the word judge, when you read this context, he's not talking about passing a sentence, but is discerning for the conduct of each other.
Right.
So then when he says, you know, remove that log from you so that you can remove the speck from your brother's eye, you need to discern what it is so that you can be the have that relationship with God and be the person you need to be so that you can help your brothers.
Yes, because if your focus isn't on God, yeah, you got a problem. And I appreciate those comments. Absolutely. So we have to discern. We have to have our focus on the Lord. And if we have our focus on the Lord, all this other stuff is going to work out. You know, I'm not going to go home on Sunday after services and I'm going to have Sherman for lunch. You don't know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, we go home sometimes and whoever we go nitpick, you know, that's what we have for lunch. That's what we discuss around the dinner table. So, no, that's not the way we act. If we got a problem with somebody, what do? We go to that person, right? Exactly. And we work it out in love because we're all trying to what? We're all trying to get to heaven, and we work together to do that.
We have to keep in mind, too, it's in this judgment factor. It's what we see or hear as opposed to what we think should be, and we end up gossiping about it.
Well, you're right, and I think that goes back to what Daryl said. We have expectations of how things ought to be, you know? But expectations in reality, there's a difference, okay? And we may see ourselves as being up here when we're really down here too, you know?
But it's also when people yes. do things and they don't really know.
Yes.
And they assume that what that person is telling them is the truth.
Yes, without investigation.
And they never go to that person and try to resolve it.
Right.
They just come to a conclusion and that's it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I agree with that.
In that case, somebody's made a judgment and then whispered about it, and it's passed on, and it just gets bigger and bigger.
And what does Scripture tell us about gossiping? We need to investigate for ourselves, right? And if we don't investigate for ourselves, and we don't have the strength and courage to investigate for ourselves and do what the Lord's told us to do, then we got an attitude problem. He throws in verse 6 of chapter 7, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast you your pearls before swine, lest they trample you under their foot and turn again and rend you." You know, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus told his disciples when he sent them out, you know, if the people there won't listen to you, you shake the dust off your feet and you go on. Well, kind of the same thing. Jesus here, I think, is specifically talking again about the Jewish leaders who would not hear. But the same applies to any. You know, they have no excuse. Romans talks about that. And they're going to be held accountable in the day of judgment. So, you know, if people won't listen to you, then shake the dust off your feet. You know, and he's specifically, I think, talking about the Pharisees there and the Jewish leaders, because they're going to turn around and rend you, okay? They're going to wound you. And that's exactly what happened, wasn't it, with the Christians? They persecuted them. So, as we continue, chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there whom if your son ask bread will give him a stone, or if he ask a fish will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that hear, that ask him?" Continuing on what we've talked about before. But the Lord is available to all those who call on him, right? Romans chapter 1, verse 20 is talking about the Gentiles and the fact that they knew God at one time, but they didn't glorify him as God, but they had no excuse, right? And so the world has no excuse. No one has an excuse, because Acts chapter 17, verse 27 says, that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he not be far from every one of us. And he says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing what? That any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to be saved, okay? So, the Lord is near. The Lord has given us a plan. The Lord is seeking those who will seek him, so we're without excuse. And he says, do unto others as I would have them do unto you. Well, that's the golden rule, right? We've talked about that. The first commandment is love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. If everybody followed that, Jesus wouldn't need to talk about the rest of this, would he? But unfortunately, that's not true. So, why did he throw that in there? This is the law and the prophets, right? The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What are we talking about? We're talking about relationships with God. We're talking about relationships with man. We can't control what others do. We can only control what? What we do, right? So, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. He goes on in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14, he talks about entering the straight gate. For wide is the way, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate. Now, that doesn't mean it's straight. That means it's restricted. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And how many? Few there be that go in thereat. So Jesus said the way to destruction is easy. The way to eternal life is hard, it's difficult, it's restricted. So, it's going to be difficult. Now, the denominational idea is that just about everybody's going to be saved, right? Call on the name of the Lord, put your hand on the TV screen, repeat after me, and you're saved. And then you can go out and do whatever you want to. Well, that's not quite true. So, when we look at this, it ought to scare us to death. Because few there be that find it. I think there are a lot of people who are going to be surprised in the day of judgment. We don't want to be one of those people. So we have to be spiritual. We have to, our focus has to be on God. We have to be sure that what we're doing is from the heart. And that we're not just going through a set of motions, and that we're not critical of others, that we introspectively look at ourselves and realize that we're not perfect and make correction in our life when we see those things. As Daryl said, I look at myself, I probably do something every day that I need to pray about. You probably do something every day that you need to pray about. So, we have to have that humble attitude, because if we want to go to heaven, then we're going to have to enter that straight gate. Not the wide way, but the restrictive way. You know, God's always wanted our hearts to be true and faithful. That's all he's ever wanted from man from the beginning. That's all he wanted from the Jews. But what happened? They were never faithful for very long. Were there faithful Jews? Absolutely. But as a nation, they were never faithful for very long. But we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an answer for how we've lived our lives. And we need, how often do we think about that? We need to think about it more. I need to think about it more. That one day I'm going to stand before my Lord and give an answer for how I lived my life. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 says, the time is going to come when judgment begins at the house of the Lord, and if those who are faithful scarcely be saved, then where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? So with me doing everything that I can to serve the Lord, I'm scarcely going to be saved. And it's only through the grace of God and God's love for me that I'm going to be saved, doing the very best that I can. So, if I think that I can just dabble in serving God and show up for worship on Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night, and, you know, I'm religious, that some way I'm going to enter the gates of heaven. That was the problem with the Pharisees. They were religious. Paul says the men of Athens were very, I perceive you're very religious, but what were they? They were idolater worshipers, okay? So it's not enough to be religious, we have to be what? We have to be righteous, okay? So if the very best that I can do, I barely get to heaven, we need to think about that, okay? Because we can't just slide by in some way, get through the gates of heaven.
There's two young men that wrote a book that I think the title of it was Do Hard Things.
Mm-hmm.
Edmund Crozier preached a lesson that I heard that I just thought was excellent about that topic, Do Hard Things. And it's based on this verse, difficult is the way, that we have to do things that are difficult, that are not easy for us.
Yes.
Doing things that are difficult for us, we end up getting better at it.
Yes.
I think one of the things that encouraged me to start trying to lead singing was at Seminole over in Tampa when I was attending there. There was a man that got up and he would, late when we had singing night, he would get up and lead us a song and he could not
carry a tune in a bucket. He tried.
He always tried.
Yes,
I thought,
yes.
Well, if he can do it, when they have singing night, I can get up there and try to lead a song to him.
And we can always try, right?
I ended up taking church music a semester under Dave Walker. It helped me a lot. I still can't match, at the end of the class, I still couldn't match my voice to a pitch pipe.
Yeah, I understand.
I understand.
But you did your best. You tried what you could. And that's what we have to do, is we have to try every day to live our lives the best that we can. Hebrews.
And yet, you look at the television screen, I see it every day, Franklin Graham, say a sinner's prayer, and yada, 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 that's all you got to do, and that's all you have to do. And the way people, the conception of people is, do it one time, and that's it.
Yes, sir. But that's not what Scripture tells us, is it? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. We're going to stop with that. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of a reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which is the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And he goes on, he talks about building our house on the sand and building our house on the rock. Those people, Joe, are building their house on the sand. We have to make sure that we're building our house on the rock, on the foundation, which is Christ. So when Jesus finished these sayings, the people were astonished, because he taught them as one who had authority. And we spent five lessons talking on the Sermon on the Mount. We could certainly have spent another. But the lesson is putting God first in our lives and treating others as we would have them treat us, with love and compassion and things of God. So thank you for your attention. Sunday morning, we will be on Matthew chapter 8 and Luke chapter 7. Matthew chapter 8 in Luke chapter 7. Thank you.